This team is in free fall. This is Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. This is your episode for Monday, December the 4th. Kansas City has dropped its fourth game in a row and is now sitting at 6-6 and will be tied probably for the division at the end of the day on Sunday. We are recording this about 5 o'clock on Sunday night, so it's not determined yet, but the guess is that they will no longer be in sole possession of first place in the AFC West.
Here's what it is. There's a big cloud over Arrowhead. The Chiefs headquarters at Arrowhead Stadium, it's Chernobyl. The whole thing is in meltdown mode. You can't find any rhyme or reason for what's going on with this team. They just simply are psychotic. Multiple personality, whatever you want to call it. They stopped the run for a couple of weeks in a row, and they look like crap against the run this week. You can't score a point for weeks on end, and then Alex Smith throws four touchdowns in a game. Two deep bombs to Tariq Hill. They have no identity. They have no consistency, and they're just running around like somebody with four voices in their head.
Can't argue with it. As much as I would like to, I can't argue with really any of that. They don't have an identity. I would say that you can't really point to the offense and say that this loss is on them, because I think the offense did what they needed to do today for the most part. Defense couldn't get anything done, and I don't know what to make of that.
You know, for the most part, I agree with you, but here's the thing. The offense didn't do it when they needed to do it. You know, the defense has tried to carry them in games past, in seasons past, and it's always, you know, it's a team game. If the offense isn't working, the defense has to step up. Defense wasn't playing well today. They still had a drive. They could have won that game.
Well, they could have tied the game. And here's where I disagree with you, and this is why I will not agree with your comment there at all. You cannot allow a 17-play drive that takes up almost 10 minutes of the third quarter.
I don't disagree with you at all.
That's completely on the defense.
Give the offense a complete pass.
Considering they had a total of maybe 45 plays and they scored 31 points. Yeah, I think you can give them much of a pass. I understand what you're trying to say, but I will argue with you on that the rest of however long you want to argue on it. They were extremely efficient. They scored touchdowns in quick ways. They did plenty to win this game, and you can't expect them to be able to score 40 points if they hardly get over 40 plays a game.
That's fair. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about, you know, grade wise, offense is an A minus for me. They didn't run enough. The play calling didn't run enough for me, and they weren't as efficient on the ground as I'd like them to be. But like you said, they scored when they had to, for the most part, except for late in the game. They scored with explosive plays. They did sustain a few longer drives. Nothing epic, but well done. But again, for me, it's they still came up short when they, as a unit, were dominating the Jets' defensive unit. I felt like they should have been able to get that last touchdown, at least tie it up. I think they would have been able to take that game if that had happened.
Well, and maybe you want them to tie it up, but again, I'll go back to what I said before. You can't expect a time of possession disparity like they had and expect them to put out more than what they did. They were more efficient early in the game than they were late in the game. You also can't look at the offense and say it makes a lot of sense that you get a third and half a yard and you try to do a pass play to your sixth offensive lineman.
Oh, good Lord. And that's one of the things that made me the most ridiculous, because here's where I walked into this game. You know, I'm obviously, folks, I'm not at home in the studio today. I was on the road, got to watch the game somewhere else. But as I'm traveling, I see, officially Matt Nagy's going to call the plays. And in my mind, that gives you a fresh take on it somewhat. Obviously, the playbook is the same, but putting those plays together is a little bit different when a different play caller. And I thought a little bit more rhyme and reason to just kind of willy-nilly. And then to have something happen like that, when I think in that drive previous to that, Kareem had ripped off a couple of 6-plus yard runs.
Yeah, it wasn't six plus. It was a 4 yard run and another 4.5 yard run, or close to 5 yard run. It was third and less than half a yard, and two back to back good runs. And then they go and play that call play that. And honestly, I thought they handed the ball off to Sherman, which I wasn't going to be upset with if they would have done it. But the play call that they had, I hated.
Yeah, it's irresponsible. And I put it out there. My guess is that Nagy had another play called and he was overruled, because it's more of the same. That isn't any change up at all. And I think Nagy, as a quarterback in particular, probably understands that the easiest thing there is to either boot Alex Smith, who I think he probably, I don't know, I'll have to look at the play again, but he may have been able to run for that first down, or just hand the thing off and get yourself in a first and 10 situation again and go from there.
Honestly, I wouldn't have even been mad if it would have been second and half a yard, because at that point, you know, you have a free play that's one of those times where you generally want them to just take a shot downfield. But I wouldn't have been mad if it was second and half a yard, or if you're at least far enough up to where you're around their 40 yard line or 45, to where maybe then you can think about doing a punt fake or a fake punt. But they were so far back, you can't do that. You can't have them get the ball on their own 20 yard line or 25 yard line. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. They had bad drives. They had bad play calls. I didn't like that one in particular. But like I said before, you know, you give an offense 45 plays and expect them to go out and win a game and even put up 30 points. I think putting up 30 points with as many plays as they had was fantastic.
Yeah, I'd say it was very good. I wouldn't say fantastic. A couple of those were blown coverages on those deep balls. But, you know, if they set themselves up to be playing man coverage on Tariq Hill and he runs by it, well, that's your own fault. So I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, but we would be talking about the Kansas City offense had they not scored 30 points. But they, you know, with as many – my issue is you cannot expect an offense to score more than 30 points if you don't get them 60 snaps, 50, 60 snaps.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. And time of possession.
Right.
Let alone the number of snaps, but the limited time that you had to run those snaps. Yep. You know, it's not just give the Jets some credit. I never thought somebody would take this tack that they needed to control the clock that much against this Chiefs team, but they did it, and it was successful for them.
Yeah, and Kansas City is going to have to figure it out. You know, I think I was encouraged by what I saw from Passanio in several plays. I think he owes Steven Nelson a dinner or two, probably on a sweet play that Nelson stopped that Passanio lost contain on. But I thought Passanio looked pretty good from when he was actually able to play. He didn't play much, but, you know, when you don't have Tom Bahali play, you know, you're going to have a guy like him step up and at least get some time in there.
Yeah. On the other side of the ball, man, it's frustrating to see this team make so much progress in recent weeks, particularly against the run, and then look like trash in the first quarter. I mean, you have a 19 yard run for McGuire, comes back. They stop Powell once. That was good. Forte goes for 21. Powell again for one, and then you get McGuire loose for another 9 yard touchdown again, and they just looked out of sorts. And I didn't see guys jumping gaps. Obviously, we'll have to rewatch the film. But what's your impression of what happened to them against the run?
It's hard to say. It looked like they got manhandled in the middle, and they were not able to open holes for the linebackers to fill. From what I saw, at least at first glance, you know, Ragland's wasn't near as noticeable today as he has been in the past. Neither was Kevin Pierre-Lewis. But let's be fair on it as well. You allow a quarterback sneak to beat you three times in the same game. That's a issue that you have to get fixed.
Yeah, for sure.
You cannot allow that. That is the dumbest thing to get beat by. And they got beat by it for two touchdowns and a first down that really cost them.
Well, and you got to look at who's manning that spot. And Benny Logan did not have a good day. Both of those runs, plus the ridiculous flag thrown late in the game. which is a whole other topic. But yeah, the middle of the defense, I agree with you, didn't look good. I thought Derek was a little bit running from behind on a number of runs early in the game. He came on late and made some nice plays. It was good to see Derek Johnson pull that off. A couple of nice stops late in the game. But in terms of the return of Darrell Revis, not what we had hoped for. Certainly, I expected some rust, probably out of football shape. As much as you train well, it's difficult to get there. But according to PFF, allowed 4 catches on 5 targets. Felt worse than that. Also gave up, looks like, 19 yards after the catch. I think one of those was one big one, 36 yards overall. But they pull him at halftime. And after the game, Coach Reed said that they pulled him due to the number of snaps he'd had to play in that first half. I think it was 39. Do you buy that, or do you think this was just a shock to be thrown back into the game for Revis?
It's really hard for me to know what to really call what they did with him. Reed said that he wanted to ease him back in. Well, if you're going to ease him back in, you don't have him play the entire first half. You have him come out a series or two, and then you use him late in the game. But I don't – this team is so disjointed, and I really don't know what to make of it because they look out of sync in so many different levels that doesn't make sense for a veteran team to be out of sync in.
Yeah, I got to agree. And, you know, unfortunately, Terrence Mitchell comes in the second half for him and basically picks up right where he left off, allowing actually a better passer rating.
Yeah, and you can say what you want about Terrence Mitchell, but that was a fantastic throw to beat him on the sideline.
Yeah, no, I'll give him that one. I'm more talking about the penalty again and some of the others. That one pass, you're absolutely correct. That's the one-handed one you're talking about, right?
I'm not sure if it was the one-handed. No, I don't think that was the one-handed one. I think that was another one on the sideline. The one that was one-handed, I think, was on Nelson. But he was stride for stride with the wide receiver, and the quarterback just put the ball in a better place. And there's nothing you can do on that.
No, that's a tough one. I thought the safeties came up and played well. I saw Ron Parker clean up a lot of plays. I think Swanson had a couple of decent hits, and I didn't see him being the issue that caused a breakdown very often.
Yeah, I thought the safeties played pretty well. I was really impressed by Stephen Terrell in small doses. I thought he played well from what I saw. Now, granted, I didn't see him in every single scenario. Maybe he was responsible for some of the plays down the field, but I thought that there were times that he did flash, which I was impressed with.
Well, and the thing that I noticed him with, as well as the other safeties too, and Bob Sutton changed it up again. Credit to Bob for trying to get some spark. Still frustrated with a lot of the things that he did, but he used those safeties in something that they're all very good at in terms of rushing the passer and sending those blitzes. Unfortunately, he had to do that because there was zero pass rush from the edge guys, with both D Ford and Tom Bahaly out for the day inactive. Just didn't leave you a whole lot. Like you said, I thought Pastineau put in some quality snaps in a few different places, obviously still learning, but I was encouraged by it. But very little pressure on McCown, a quarterback that I think you have to rattle because of his experience level. And I just don't know where they go from here at this point, because as a whole, even while making adjustments, this defense looks completely out of sorts.
I can't argue. You look at this defense and you look at the players they have on it, and it makes absolutely no sense that they got as little pressure on McCown as they did, but they did. I mean, give credit to the Jets. They got the ball out quick in a lot of scenarios. It didn't really give time for the pass rush to get there. But, you know, on the big plays where they needed their guys to hold up and be able to get some time, they weren't able to do that. So, you know, there were several third downs that the defense had no business giving up that they gave up because they couldn't get off the field, and that really killed them. And that's part of where I go back on this defense is that you can't let a team be 10 for 16 on third downs against you. You have to find a way to get off the field. And if you don't find a way to get off the field, you're going to lose the game because, one, you're going to get worn out. Two, your offense isn't getting enough opportunities. And both of those things happened today.
Yeah, it just ridiculous how poor they were at stopping that. It just all in all. And here's the last topic that really is a sign that this team is still in complete disarray, that Andy Reid has not fixed this team. As much as they got the offense going, the defense fell apart. But this is the sign overall. And I talked a little bit about it this week, and it reared its head again. 8 penalties on the day. A ridiculous amount of shooting yourself in the foot, especially that last scoring drive for the Jets, basically handing them the game via penalty. And this team just still cannot buckle down and have some discipline.
I'm not going to argue with that very much, but I will say that it really seems like lately against the Chiefs, the penalties have started to come out late in the game. And I've looked at some of the penalties, and I don't know that some of them were penalties. I'm really getting tired of getting down late in the game and they just start calling penalties around on the Chiefs late in the game. And I'm not saying that officials are doing it or are screwing them on a regular basis, but man, some of those penalties are really ticky tacky that weren't being called early on.
I can see where you're coming from, but Jay Lyons, one of my Twitter followers, said it had a good topic and we might as well hit it now, because even if they are calling them late, and if they're more prevalent to watch what the Chiefs are doing and get ticky-tack at the end of the games, there's no excuse for what Marcus Peters did today. None at all. Especially for a guy who's supposed to be one of your ascending leaders on that defense. And I think that might be the bigger question mark about why this team, the defense in particular, seems to have no rudder.
Is he really a leader on the defense?
He should be.
No. You can say he should be. Is he? Because there's a big difference, and this is the same thing you go back to with Kelce. Kelce should be a leader on the offense. Is he? Probably not. And Peters,
I don't know if you can say that about Peters, though.
Yeah, you can.
Do you think he is not?
I don't think he is. If he is, then there's a severe problem, because he can't – a leader cannot get that emotional and get that out of whack. You can't have that type of emotion come out. And I'm not trying to defend what Peters did, because you're right. There's no excuse for what he did. I understand the frustration. But I don't think he's a leader on this team. I don't. And I think the bigger thing is that I think the guys that are supposed to be leading this team are Justin Houston and Eric Berry. Eric Berry's not been around since the first week of the season. And Justin Houston, for whatever reason, hasn't been taking that role that I would expect him to take, because I would expect to see Houston and Peters face for something like that. And he wasn't nowhere to be found.
Yeah, and that's a problem too. But I take it like this, because I hear veterans referring to the fire and the energy that Marcus Peters brings. And I've multiple veterans like Derek Johnson, like Tom Bahaly, point to Peters. So maybe you're right, maybe he's not. But it seems like there's a lot of eyes from that defensive unit on their teammate Marcus Peters. And when they see stuff like this, his complete loss of control, there's one thing to be passionate about losing and giving up plays, and more power to him. He should be. He is arguably one of the three best players on this defense and one of the top two with Eric Berry out. He's got to have that passion to lead from the front. But like you said, you can't let that get out of control. And I think more of these younger players, maybe not starters, but more of these defensive players that are rotational, look to him as a leader maybe than you think they do.
Well, and maybe they do. And maybe that's a better reason for Revis to be here, because he's a guy that can show that leadership if he can play better than he did early this game. And let's be fair on – Revis, I think it's a lot to expect him to come in and play great if he's not played in a single game in almost a year. So, you know, I will just see what he gives them down the stretch. I think he's going to be something that hopefully can help them down the stretch, but we'll see. As far as Peters is concerned, honestly, what it comes down to with me for him is if he's looked at as a leader on this defense, then you got to figure it out, because how do you call him a leader on this defense when he takes as many plays, not off really, but where he's not giving full effort? I mean, I could count at least 3 times where he should have hit a guy and didn't. He let somebody else do it for him. That's not a leader.
I agree with you, and I pointed that out at one play, and I have to take this back to the coaching staff, because the thing that I have a problem with, yes, he wants to make plays. I get that. He's trying to take advantage of a guy already engaged with another tackler, trying to strip that ball out. But it cost them first downs today because he went for that rather than just coming up and hitting the guy. He does it sporadically and just gets the play done and over with instead of trying to make the big splash play. But that's coaching. That comes back to Al Harris telling him, stop trying to strip every ball, get the guy on the ground, and stop the play.
Is it really coaching? Because I don't know that it is. And my argument on the fact that it's not coaching is the fact that, to me, it looks like he's more saving himself for a long-term deal than he really is playing the way he played the first 2 years in the league.
And I won't disagree with you on that aspect, too. But when I saw him make some hits today and go for the strip in other plays, in other situations, that tells me that he's not shying away from it completely. Like, and I think he's just trying to pick and choose. And I think it is up to the coaching staff to tell him, you can't do that. You have to go make the stop, because the stop on that third down play ends a drive. Yep. And that's as good as getting your turnover. Yes, it's not a big splashy play, but on a game like this, end the drive, get the ball back in the offense's hands, who's actually playing well today. That could have been the difference in this game.
Yeah, because if he stops them, and that also gets the defense off the field to where they're not on the field for a 17-play drive.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's what I go back to with this game is, we've been so frustrated with the offense over the past 3 or 4 weeks. This game isn't on them. Yeah, they could have played better. Yeah, they could have done better. We didn't even get to talking about Mitch Morse, and I don't know what to make of that whole situation. But they did what they needed to do, and the defense didn't get it done. Because if the defense gets one or two stops at any point during that game, Kansas City wins that game, and it could be a 2 or 3 score game, or 2 or 3 score game that they win by.
Yeah, I agree with you. And before we get to that, bottom line. All of this stuff with Marcus Peters, the question that Jay asked on Twitter is this a guy that you can extend now, or do you need to wait it out and play out the rest of his rookie contract? Where does his play, his attitude, and his effort level leave you thinking right now?
Well, here's my problem. If you don't extend him now, you might as well get used to him playing this way for the rest of his rookie contract. So
I agree with you, and I also think if you don't extend him soon, you will not get a second contract. He will go elsewhere.
No, it's possible as well. I mean, I think that it's possible that to be completely fair, they have at least 2 more years under this current contract, and they could franchise him for 2 years. Now, do you want to be having to do that? No, but they are going to be able to have the money to be able to do that if it comes to that. If you don't extend him now, he's not playing great against the run, but, and I really hate saying this because it almost feels like I'm agreeing with somebody I completely disagree with. I don't think yes, his first job is to play the pass, and I think he's done that phenomenally this year, regardless of the stat. I think he still stops the pass going to his side of the field, and I think there's incredible value in that. The problem is that he's not playing the run like he has been, and that really hurts the defense in certain plays.
See, normally I would agree with you, but today he gave up 4 receptions on 5 targets. He's not stopping
the run. Okay, how many yards?
35. Moved the sticks at least 2 times that I recall off the top of my head.
And I think you're thinking of plays that necessarily weren't targeting him and he came off the ball to help, but I could be wrong.
That could be fair. I'll have to rewatch the tape. I am going off of PFF's charting, so folks, take that with a grain of salt.
I will take 5 targets, 4 catches, and 35 yards from a CB on a regular basis. Because if you're doing that on one side of the field, you're holding your side of the field down well enough. 35 yards is hardly anything to shake a stick at when the defense is looked at overall. When you give up 500 yards of offense, 35 yards is nothing.
That's true. My problem is a 5-yard completion that allows a first down where they throw elsewhere otherwise. I expect an all-pro corner like he is to be better than allowing 80% completion percentage. Well, when you look at him over the last 3 weeks, he's allowed 12 on 15.
Here's the problem. How is he getting played? Because he's also usually 10 yards off the ball.
Oh, you'll get no argument from me there.
I mean, okay, he's a Pro Bowl corner. I'm not going to argue that. He's an all-pro. Great. But if you're using him 10 yards off the ball and you're expecting him to allow less than an 80% completion percentage, I think you're asking a little much. There's only so much you can do if you're playing 10 yards off the ball. And if you're not going to
– I agree. My only difference is it's not that different from the way he was played last season where he allowed a much lower completion percentage. So I can't put it all on the way he's being used. I agree with you. But I don't think it's that drastic a difference from last season when he was able to come up with more incompletes.
Hmm. I disagree. I think he played closer to the line of scrimmage a lot more last year.
Okay.
But, you know, at the end of the day, is 4 catches on 5 targets for 35 yards going to beat you? No, it's not. Now, can it be 4 first downs? Yeah, it could be, technically speaking. But, you know, again, without seeing, you know, every single aspect of how he was played on those 4 plays, if he's playing 10 yards off the ball, trying to stop him short, you know, his biggest problem is he won't go up and hit him.
Yeah,
I get
definitely a conundrum.
I get the frustration. I get wanting him to play better. I get wanting him to not have an 80% completion percentage. But if your offense gives up 500 yards, he's not your problem. Or if your defense gives up 500 yards, he's not your problem at that point.
That's true. And that's a fair point.
Now, okay, he's not your problem against the pass at that point. Maybe he's one of your problems against the run, and that's a fair question.
Yeah, possibly, but then again, you know, very few times in a given ball game is your cornerback the guy that should be responsible or first responsible for making a tackle on a run.
No, and I agree with that completely. So, I'm just saying that he doesn't help when he doesn't attack.
I agree with you. It just goes back to this whole concept that I see this team that takes me back to Andy Reid overall. Is this team is Jekyll and Hyde. You don't know what you're going to get on any given Sunday. You know, is the defense going to be the Achilles heel? Is the offense? Are you going to lose guys? Are guys going to give up a ton of penalties? Are they going to play discipline? You just don't know.
Nope.
And that inconsistency, I think, comes down to the head coach. I still think it's an issue. Don't get me wrong, folks. Andy Reid's going nowhere. I'm not telling you he needs to go anywhere. He's got to do a better job is what I'm telling you.
And I would agree with that. He's not going anywhere. He's here for at least another 4 years, I would guess. Maybe only 3 if this keeps up. But I would imagine he's here for his entire contract because I can't see Clark Hunt wanting to move away from him unless, you know, for some reason he loses the – he loses locker room, and at that point you have to consider making a change. But right now he hasn't done that. So and it's going to be really hard for a guy like Reid to lose the locker room because he is such a player's coach.
Yeah, I agree. Well, long and short, anything that we can take away as we get ready for film review before we close it up tonight?
This team just isn't good enough. The early season success was a mirage. Teams didn't know how to play defense against them. And honestly, I don't think they played bad against the zone today near as much as they just couldn't. And they didn't have, I don't remember really many 3-and-out drives. I mean, maybe there's 1, maybe 2. But Colquitt wasn't punting very much today.
That's a solid point.
And that goes back to, you know, if your punter only gets on the field twice, and you lose, it's because your defense can't stop the ball at all. And we know that was the case. So it's tough to be watching this team right now. And it's really hard to know what to expect moving forward because there are so many things that Kansas City needs to figure out. And I just don't know that they have the ability to figure them out. And again, like we said, it's possible that by the time that you were listening to this, especially if it's on Monday, Kansas City will no longer hold the lead in the division by themselves. Because right now,
nor should they.
Los Angeles is winning, which they should be. They're playing the Browns.
And that may be the motivation this team needs. You know, get kicked in the gut because you had it all locked up and you let it slip out of your hands. Is there still time to get it right? Maybe. But it's a win-out scenario now. You're going to need 10 wins. That's just the way it is. So
yeah, with the way,
better buckle
with
in.
The way the Chargers playing, you're going to need them. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, if you would have told me that Kansas City and the Chargers would play on Sunday night, I would have told you you're crazy that it's going to get flexed because the Chargers so far back in the division. Now I think it's possible they will play on Sunday night in a couple of weeks. It still could get flexed out, but I think the possibility is even better now that it's kept there just because it could be for first place in the division.
Fair enough. Folks, we know it's frustrating. We appreciate you tuning in and listening to us. Hit us with more ideas. We appreciate all your questions and comments. We'll try to address them on the show. We are going to dig into the tape and get deeper into what is going on, see if there's anything that we can find. At the end of the day, we're looking for this coaching staff to pull it out, and we'll have to see how they respond as well. But it's going to be a rocky season from this point out. So stay with us. Get subscribed. Make sure you're hitting PFF. Getting eligible for PFF with those iTunes reviews. We appreciate your time. Thanks for listening tonight, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.